Show. It is I, Michael, with Toru Masamune, as always. And this is a special episode. It is our playoff preview. But also, this episode is going to be done very differently. Toru is going to be part of maybe the first about 25 to 30 minutes of this episode. And then I will be joined by my good friend Ted Starkey, from who is the author of Red Rising. And I blank on the name of the book that he wrote about the AHL. He will be joining for the latter portion of this episode to accommodate for Toro's schedule. So we're very grateful that Toro is able to join us for this episode. So with that, we're going to hop right on into it. Toro and I are only going to talk about a series and a half. First, we'll talk about the series. And that series is the Los Angeles Kings versus the Edmonton Oilers.
And you notice, let me throw in the sigh here. Okay, let's talk about it.
So right off the bat, as we're recording this, it is April 16th when Toro and I are recording this. Both teams have played 81 games, but we do know for a fact that the Los Angeles Kings have home ice advantage after getting 105 points compared to the Oilers' 99. Now, obviously, those point totals could fluctuate when they both play their last game of the regular season. This, I believe, is now the third year in a row that LA and Edmonton, 4 year. Okay, I was thinking 4 years, but
the this will be the
fourth consecutive
first
year.
time that they may win, but yeah, it's there've been four in a row.
So this will be the fourth time in a row that the Kings and the Oilers have faced off in the playoffs. I believe all of them have always been in the first round, I believe.
Yeah, all first round, and I believe this is the first home ice advantage for LA.
Yeah. And it should be noted that LA and Edmonton had just played each other recently a few days ago, which led to Darnell Nurse getting a one-game suspension for cross-checking.
That was a crazy game.
For cross-checking for Quentin Byfield. And I bring up the suspension because I think it's important to bring this up, because I think this is the way the league is sending a message to both Edmonton and LA of, hey, we get it. This is now going to be the fourth year in a row you're playing each other in the first round of the playoffs. You have a heated rivalry.
Yeah.
Don't let this get out of hand, as we saw that led to the Darnell Nurse suspension. What are your thoughts on that going into this series?
Yeah, I think that was absolutely the case. I mean, it's going to be a good series because the emotions are already really rising high. I mean, I don't know how many penalty minutes there were, because it wasn't just the Darnell Nurse. It was, they were calling everything, and that whole thing, refs, as they have hard jobs, as game manager as opposed to just the enforcers. But actually, and you realize you got to manage it, because if we don't catch it now, it's like being like a substitute middle school teacher, right? Right? It's
Yeah.
like, kind of right. If you don't stop it early, it will be out of control by the third period. And I think that's they're saying, so we're going to even discourage even the mildest contact, and it was expressed in penalties, and then The suspension, which is just the one game, so it's just against the Sharks, which is just as well because can rest up. I think the reason was, and there are a couple takes on it. This is kind of interesting, where it doesn't look good, but clearly there wasn't much force on there. I don't know, that's it's still cross-checking for sure. But it wasn't excessive force, and you could say, well, it was also completely gratuitous and very intentional. But it was I didn't feel like I think the thing is if you're actually literally trying to hurt someone, because he's in a position where he could really have seriously hurt him. But so I think that's it was weighing that out. And also, so to have him skip out on the first game of the playoffs, I'm kind of glad he's just going to miss tonight's game, I guess. I can't remember when they're playing the Sharks,
They are playing the Sharks tonight, the
right.
16th.
So he can't play that, and he'll be able to play the first, on the first game one. But yeah, I would say that was it was a weird game, and part of it it wasn't enjoyable on a certain level. I mean, I don't know how much of that was being 5 goals, big shutout, five goals. I don't know how much of it was that, but also it was just like just everything felt weird, and I feel like. And Edmonton, everybody was out. It was crazy.
Well, you mentioned everyone's out, and I want to bring up another point is that the Oilers have been dealing with some injuries. You've learned that Matthias Ekholm will probably miss the first round potentially. You don't know what the official status is of Evander Kane, who has missed significant time this season due to injury. Connor McDavid's been a little banged up since coming back from the Four Nations tournament. And there's been a couple other injuries on the Oilers as well. How much of a role do you think that will play for the Oilers in the first round against the Kings?
I'm not quite sure who. I mean, I think McDavid and Draisaitl will be back. But again, they're maybe not 100%. Trent Frederick. I mean, all these guys. I mean, it's so iffy, right? I know people have. I've heard of this, right? I've seen other teams. You always hear about some team gets decimated, right? And that's kind of. I don't know what happened to the Oilers, but that's kind of where they're at now. So I think it. I kind of feel like the first few games, and I obviously they have to steal one at Crypto. I mean, and by the way, my apologies to any LA people watching this because, that's my hometown. But my childhood was in Edmonton. And I kind of feel like they kind of have to steal one of these first two games to have a shot. Because the longer this thing goes, the harder it's going to be. Because it's just that team is just hobbling right now. So I think it's going to be huge. I mean, I think, in fact, I would say a healthy Edmonton. I would say LA in five or six. If it was a healthy Edmonton, but they're so far from it now, and we see what happens. I mean that they've. I think they're 8-0 in goals in the last two games, right? So it's like they just don't have any. That's why it became so physical, is because they were just trying to get in there, and it's just completely imbalanced without those guys there. But I think you saw what happened when McDavid, or maybe you did or didn't, but when McDavid hopped back in, he said he just took over the game. As did Draisaitl, both times they just came back, and because they said, what, clearly they're, not they didn't know it, but clearly I think they will be very motivated to get that whole team back to where it should be. And I don't know. I mean, I'm not, I won't lie. I'm not super optimistic. I mean, I think, it's far from ideal right now. I mean, I don't know if that answers your question, but I think it's far from ideal that, Ekholm was huge. I think that loss is huge,
I mean, he's a big shutdown defenseman.
Oh my God, yeah. Darnell Nurse is good, but yeah, I think his loss is huge. So in answer to your question, end result, how does it play in? I mean, I went from really being excited. You've seen the shows, right? And Nasser, like, I won't lie.
We've
I mean,
been
I'm
doing this
also
all
a Boston
season
guy. I'm also a
now.
Boston guy. I'm also a Boston guy, and I'm starting to tune into like the. I'm saying, man, I'm just gonna end up watch. Am I gonna just tune in to be, watch the NBA? NBA finals. I don't know.
So,
The NBA stuff. I don't know. But so with that being said, I think it's huge. The injury. I think it's gonna be on Edmonton's side. It's all about the health. It's just really poor right now. It's really
So,
poor.
do you think, and we'll make this prediction time, do you think this is the time when LA finally gets over Edmonton?
Oh boy, because I know oof, I wouldn't put I mean, in all honesty, I wouldn't put money on Edmonton right now. I mean, I would have before. But they're also a team that they've been through a lot and they pull through, but they got a big thing to call. So I'm gonna ooh, that's hard. I deep down right now I feel like LA might just take it, but I'm gonna say that maybe something will happen because I've seen Edmonton do some amazing things. The team's got a lot of heart, they do amazing things when you least expect it. They do some pretty lame things when you least expect it too, but I
I mean,
kind of
that's
feel
a
like
lot of teams, let's be honest
a
here.
lot of teams, but I kind of feel like maybe it's good that they've fallen, that they've hit so much adversity, which how with teams sometimes that can be a good thing. So I know, at least the first few games, McDavid and Draisaitl are they're going to come in guns a blazing, and that's going to be hard to defend against. And they haven't last two games, the Kings haven't seen those two guys on the ice. So I kind of feel like this is my prediction. This. And I say this, you probably already noticed the trepidation in my voice, but I'm gonna say Edmonton's gonna steal one of the games at Crypto, and they're all gonna be close. They're not gonna dominate a single game, but they'll get, they'll be these crazy close games, and then I'm gonna say it goes to seven. But they'll be hobbling by seven. I don't even want to say this, but I'm gonna say, how does this sound? My prediction. I do believe they're gonna steal a game, and they are gonna somehow make it to seven. And at that point, I'm just gonna cross my fingers. Is that a prediction? Is that a legit prediction? I predict
So
they'll go to
you have fingers crossed seven games just straight up.
straight up fingers. So, but that's how I'm seeing it play off. That's sort of prediction. They're going to steal one of the games by a margin, by a goal. They're going to somehow hobble through to seven, and then it's going to be Crypto on game seven, and I'll be there,
With
fingers
fingers
crossed.
crossed.
So that's my prediction.
Okay, so we're not getting an actual decision of which team is actually going to win. Just fingers crossed that the Oilers make it to seven games.
Yeah, but I kind of feel that's actually pretty good, though. You know what I mean? Like right now, it doesn't look good. I won't lie, just because of the health situation.
So now with that, we've talked about a series. Now we're
Yes.
going to talk about half of a series. And
Okay.
that is the Washington Capitals versus
Yes.
insert team here. Now, as I mentioned earlier, we're recording this portion of the episode on April 16th. Currently, the
Yeah.
Montreal Canadiens are playing the Carolina Hurricanes and are tied at one apiece. The Montreal
Like at this
Canadiens,
moment?
yes, at this moment, they are tied at 1-1.
That's
I
crazy.
have the score. They are in the second period right now as we are recording this. The Montreal Canadiens currently hold the second wild card spot with a 39-31-11 record with 89 points, and the Columbus Blue Jackets, which also is going to be playing their last game tomorrow, Thursday night, is 39-33-9 with 87 points. And here's the thing: if Montreal loses in regulation, it all falls on Columbus tomorrow. And if Columbus wins in regulation, they get the tiebreaker in regulation wins, which means the Capitals would then face the Columbus Blue Jackets. All Montreal needs to do tonight is go to overtime and they clinch. They don't have to win in overtime. They just have to go to overtime.
Just need the point. Just need the point.
Now, and I bring this up because obviously the Capitals just had a back-to-back weekend series with the Columbus Blue Jackets that the Blue Jackets scored 11 goals to the Capitals one. I was at the one where they lost 4-1. night before or the day before was the 7-0 blowout. And I'm going to say this straight up right here. I'm scared of Columbus if I'm the Washington Capitals. Columbus is red hot right now. They are fighting literally for their playoff lives. And that is a team that scares me
Isn't it funny how
legitimately.
there are all these teams that we weren't taking seriously at all at the beginning, and now, and maybe, well,
Well,
you're probably more dialed in than I am, but sometimes,
Montreal was a team we
Montreal.
didn't factor into the playoff picture.
Yeah, absolutely. Right.
But here's the thing, though, and I'll get to Montreal in a moment. I want to focus on Columbus because that's where I want to kind of put the pinpoint on. But it brings up that one thing that you said. I didn't know where Columbus stood come the beginning of the season because of the passing of Johnny Gaudreau and the impact of his passing would have on the team. So I kind of gave Columbus a pass at the beginning of the season, not saying that, oh, they're not a playoff team or they are a playoff team because you don't know how they're going to come into the season mind frame wise or mindset wise. So I always gave Columbus a pass as a result of that. With that said, as I just said, I'm scared of Columbus if I'm a Washington Capitals because they're red hot.
No, I don't blame them.
They literally just lit up the Capitals for 11 goals, and the Capitals only scored
Crazy.
one.
I remember
That
seeing
kid,
that in play.
Jet Greaves in goal has been phenomenal down this stretch for the Columbus Blue Jackets. He has been absolutely phenomenal. He got first star of the week honors on Monday for what he did the previous week to help the Blue Jackets get to where they are right now of this recording. It may all be for naught once Ted and I start recording Thursday evening.
That's right. Right.
But Montreal, on the other hand, as you're saying, like, yeah, I didn't factor Montreal into the playoff picture. I always saw them as a bubble team. Like, they're going to be better than where they were last season, but I didn't see them where they are now. But they've been struggling mightily to clinch this playoff spot. And that it's literally coming down to, hey, you just need to make it to overtime with Carolina to clinch the second wild card spot to face the Capitals.
You don't even have to
Or
win.
it all falls on Columbus Thursday night. It brings uneasiness if you're a Montreal Canadiens fan. And here's the thing, since the Capitals clinched their playoff spot almost probably like a month ago now, and have been dealing with the Ovechkin 895 chase, which ended, about almost 2 weeks ago now at this point. The Capitals are a team that is working on getting themselves back into that mentality for the playoffs. They had a great win against the New York Islanders Tuesday night. Obviously, when Ted and I are recording, that's when the Washington Capitals will be playing the Pittsburgh Penguins to end the regular season. These Islanders, Penguins, these are games obviously the Capitals need to really kind of like, I don't say they have to win, but they have to take a lot more seriously to work on their game to get ready for whoever they're going to face in the first round, whether it be Montreal or Columbus, especially the fact that Alexei Protas is injured and is week to week with a which looks like to be an ankle injury or foot injury. Logan Thompson is currently out due to injuries, so Charlie Lindgren is the number one guy in between the pipes right now. And while Thompson has started skating, we don't still have a timeline on him yet. So when you look at those two guys, a Protas and Thompson, I mean, granted, Thompson and Lindgren have been rotating back and forth all season, which has been great for both of them because they're both ready to go right off the bat. But losing a guy like Protas, who's a top six forward, who's had 30 goals this season, which is a first for him, those are things that you also have to put into effect for the Capitals of like, those are your two main injuries, you know, and then you have to get your groove back going. So Montreal, I feel more confidently playing against if I'm the Capitals, because of how Montreal has struggled coming into the playoffs just to try to secure their playoff spot. Whereas I'm scared of Columbus because they've just been red hot coming down the
Well, I
stretch.
think the
And you don't
timing
want
is.
to go up against a red hot team going into the playoffs because that is going to burn you.
Well, we've seen that happen so many times that they just peak out. You know, they come, you know, that's when they get good, and those are really hard teams to stop. Momentum is always something, but it's absolutely everything in the playoffs, and wherever you are, however you started, it's hard. You need some speed coming into the
Yeah,
playoffs.
you need
You
that
can't,
momentum.
yeah, momentum, and it doesn't matter where a lot of these teams start or who they are or whatever. It's scary when a team's hot going
Yeah.
into the playoffs.
So and I'll say this again when I'm with Ted, but if the Capitals face Montreal, I have the Capitals t winning that series. If it's the Capitals versus Columbus, I hate saying it, but I think it's Columbus taking that series. Unless the Capitals ultimately turn it around.
Yeah, I'll buy that. I'll buy that.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you. I think right now, I think the Canadians are definitely more polished.
And please note that we are talking about this right now as the Montreal Canadiens are playing the
That's
Carolina
crazy.
Hurricanes. They are 12:08 left in the second period, and they are tied at one apiece right now. So by the time I record with Ted tomorrow for this latter half of this episode, we could have a Montreal Washington series, or we could be waiting on the result of Columbus's game against the New York Islanders. So that's what we're looking at right now, as we are recording this. So with that, real quick, before we go to break, to bring in Ted. Toru, we have to do a rapid fire with you. We need to get your predictions for the first round on the episode. So with that, I'm just going to run west to east, starting with Colorado, Dallas. Who do you got? And just
I got
quick rapid fire.
Dallas,
Dallas.
Dallas.
All right. LA, Edmonton. Besides seven. Figure.
Edmonton.
Okay, he's going Edmonton in seven. All right. Minnesota, Vegas.
I will take Vegas.
Okay, St. Louis, Winnipeg.
Ooh, that's a hard one just because I feel like
And
I've
St. Louis is that same boat as
same
Columbus.
team.
They've
And
been
plus
red hot.
I'm feeling the Winnipeg choke, playoff choke, so I'm gonna go with St. Louis.
All right. All right.
I got a little sense of that last game I watched them. And I said, I've seen this before.
Well, not only that, but like I just said, St. Louis is a lot like Columbus right now, where they've been red hot coming down the
Oh
stretch.
man.
I mean that, like, what was it, 13 game winning
Oh
streak?
yeah, no. I'm told I think
Yeah.
the St. Louis looks great. That win, that last one was a
Over
hard.
on the East, Carolina versus New Jersey.
I'm gonna say Carolina. I'm gonna go with that.
All right, Ottawa, Toronto.
Oh man, I was never. Oh man, that's a hard one.
Battle of Ontario.
I know, and it's just us. It's always scary choose picking Toronto, but I'm gonna go with them.
You're going to go Toronto. All right.
It's like,
Florida, Tampa Bay, and the Battle of Florida.
oof. Hate to say it, Florida.
All right. And then Washington versus Montreal, and then Washington versus Columbus. We'll just put both out there. So if it's Caps,
Well, I
Montreal.
definitely like Washington over Montreal for sure.
Okay. And then Caps,
So how are you
Columbus.
doing this? You're doing if
Yeah, this is the if one right now.
then if
Yeah.
then definitely Montreal for sure.
Or Capitals over Montreal.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I
and
would
then
do.
what about Washington Columbus?
I mean, I have. Oh, Jesus, that's also hard. I'll go with Washington just because of the Ovechkin. I had this moment during the. I don't know what happened. I said, "Oh, it was that Edmonton game." I said, "You know what? I think this is Ovechkin's. Like, this
Oh,
the
when
hockey
Ovi got the
gods.
hat trick.
Yeah, and the hockey gods are saying."
It's his year or something like
It's
that.
his year. I mean, it's so if they go all the way, that would be so perfect, I thought. I think, if yeah, I mean, obviously, yeah. I'm gonna go with Washington just because from the hockey god standpoint of
So
point of
I'm
view.
gonna do a rapid fire on my end real quick so that way Toro knows what my picks are. Obviously,
I'm gonna run it
there'll
too.
be more explanation when I'm with Ted.
I'm gonna write
So
them down so you're accountable.
yeah, I have it written down right here. For those on
Yeah, plus,
YouTube, I have it right here. Look, it's on
plus,
YouTube. You could see
okay,
it.
and plus we're recording it, so
Yeah.
there's proof.
And I actually am going to create like a thing for us on
But
Twitter and social media.
in case you edit the audio,
So
you know.
for the record, I'm actually going to post Toro, Ted, and I's predictions
Oh
up on
no!
social media.
Nice. Okay.
So y'all will be able to see our picks on social media as
Beautiful.
well.
Beautiful.
So my rapid fire, so that way Toro knows what my picks are as of now, is I have Colorado over Dallas. I think the regaining of Gabriel Landeskog is going to be a big boost to the Colorado Avalanche. I have LA over Edmonton. I just think it's their year. I'm so sorry, Toro.
Yeah, no, yeah, I'm with you. With you.
I have Vegas over Minnesota. As much as I'd love to see Fleury get the win over Vegas, I just don't see it as a realistic thing. I have Winnipeg over St. Louis. As hot as St. Louis has been, the steam has to come out. They have to lose steam eventually. And I
Okay.
have Winnipeg because Winnipeg has remained consistent. In the East, I have Carolina over New Jersey. I have Ottawa over Toronto. I have Florida over Tampa because I want the Tkachuk brothers to just obliterate each other in the second round. I think it would be fantastic. And then I have the Caps over Montreal or Columbus over the Capitals. So those are my picks. So that's my rapid fire, but I will explain it more thoroughly after the break when Ted joins the show on
Okay.
why a lot of these are the way they are. So with that, Toro, you got to get going. We're
Yes.
going to go to break. We're actually going to actually insert an advertising break in here for one of our affiliates. So stay tuned for that, and I'll be back with Ted Starkey to
Are
go
we ever
over the
gonna do?
rest of the
Are we ever
first
gonna
round.
do ad reads? Is that ever gonna happen?
Yeah, we'll do ad reads. Don't worry. And with that, we're going to go to break.
The More Phenomenal Hockey Show is brought to you by Cool Hockey, the official NHL jersey retailer for the show, and TXHT Hockey. Use our exclusive link of coolhockey.com/TXHT and order your NHL jersey today.
And ladies and gentlemen, we are back here at the More Phenomenal Hockey Show, and we have gone from having Power Rangers and TMNT actors to Ted Starkey, an author. We've decided to change the format. No, I'm just kidding. Obviously, as I mentioned earlier, Toru had a other commitments. He's a Hollywood actor. Things come up. We're always going to do everything that we can to accommodate his schedule. Thankfully, Ted is willing to step up. So Ted, I thank you so much for joining the show for this playoff preview and predictions.
Sure. Always good to be here.
Yep. And it's been a while since you and I have done a podcast together. I think I had this thing called TXHT podcast or something like that, and we don't do that anymore. But no, it's good to have you back. So earlier Toro and I we talked about LA Edmonton. We'll talk a little bit more about them later with you. But where we did leave off was the Capitals. And at the time when we recorded on Wednesday night, it was half of a series. We knew one half of the equation. It wasn't until after we had finished recording that we found out that it would be the Montreal Canadiens taking on the Washington Capitals, which that series will start on Monday. Before we go into Montreal, Washington, I want to talk about Columbus. They were a team at the beginning of the season that I refused to give a prediction of how they would do during the season because of the passing of Johnny Gaudreau. I felt that that was the appropriate thing to do at that time. But coming down the stretch, I'm not gonna lie, I was scared of the Columbus Blue Jackets. They were very hot. Jett Greaves was playing fantastic hockey in net. Guys like Sean Monahan, Zach Werenski, Kent Johnston, they were all hitting their stride at the right time. And with the Capitals kind of meandering down the road into the playoffs, Columbus became a legitimate threat. What are your thoughts on the Blue Jackets?
I mean, obviously, they, like you were alluding to earlier with the tragedy over the summer, to see them put it together at the end of the year was a nice, it's a nice story. And, obviously, it just, the win streak at the end was just a little bit too late. We were discussing earlier about how we had Carolina iced a more complete lineup in their finale with Montreal, or the Canadiens finale might have been a little bit more meaning, but, it's, they just didn't quite have enough room on the runway to make it the playoffs. But obviously, they showed that a lot of heart this year. Full stick taps to them for sticking through, making almost every game meaningless and or meaningful, I should say. They deserve a lot of credit for what they did with, probably one of the thinner rosters in the league. They played hard. They obviously played well down the stretch, took advantage of some situations with, obviously the Capitals weren't playing a lot of players last weekend, but they had two impressive victories. So, you gotta give tip your hat to them, and they almost pulled it off. But obviously it bodes few well for the future that for them, to, kind of win a season that they could have written off completely, that they almost made something really good out of it.
Yeah, and of course, we're recording on Thursday, April 17th, this portion of the episode, and Columbus is having their regular season finale at home tonight against the New York Islanders, which is going to be the culmination of what has been a year-long celebration of Johnny Gaudreau and the Columbus Blue Jackets' perseverance throughout. So, definitely. Possibly out of all the games that have absolutely no meaning, this is the one that has meaning.
It's it makes the it'll be a nice show, and it'll be a nice chance for the Columbus fans to send off the team for the summer, and hopefully they can add to kind of close the gap between them and the rest of the Metro Division. Obviously, the division is not exactly what it has been in recent years,
It is a
so they
very
do have an
different division.
opportunity. Well, I mean, the crazy stat is, if Carolina doesn't win their finale in Ottawa, there's the Capitals are going to be the only 100-point team in that division. And that's, this is a team, we're comparing them to past years when, you had the Capitals and Penguins as two of the best teams in the league, year after year we're playing in the playoffs. And now the Capitals could go potentially the Eastern Finals if they win without facing a team with 100 points, which is, huge change.
Well, and not only that, but when you also look at it from this perspective, it's the first time that all four American original six teams are not in the playoffs. And it's also the first time in who knows how long, it's been a long, I think the first time ever, you have not had the Rangers, the Penguins, and the Flyers in the playoffs, or at
Right,
least
yeah.
one
I
of
mean,
them. And it's the first time all three of them are sitting outside looking in.
yeah, no, it's been an interesting season. Obviously, there were a lot of teams that did not live up to expectations. There was a lot of teams that over exceeded expectations, and so it's been a kind of a unique year. I think it's kind of one of those years that's going to be kind of a bringing of change to some teams. So you may see kind of a bit of a shift in terms of how the league moves forward. But yeah, it was definitely a different season and not one that played out like most people expected.
Yeah. So with that, we're going to move right into the Capitals series with the Montreal Canadiens. Obviously, the Canadiens eked their way in last night. Capitals got their spot like literally a month ago, and they've just kind of had Ovi 895 and, last 2 weeks really just try to get themselves back on track to where they should be. How are you seeing the Capitals in this series with the Canadiens? And it should be noted that this is the second time these two teams have ever faced in the playoffs, last time being 15 years ago.
Right. Yeah, I think Obviously, you bring up 2010. That probably was one of the biggest disappointments of Ovechkin's playoff career. They had a 3-1 lead after game four in Montreal, got stuck in fog, got back to BWI before game five, ended up losing that one, went back to Montreal. Halak basically shut the door on them. And in game seven, they came up short with a controversial goaltender interference call that wiped out a potential goal in the third period. So I would expect that Ovechkin and, John Carlson, who are the two caps, are part of that series, will be very motivated in making sure they do not take Montreal lightly. I think that was one of the issues 15 years ago. I think they kind of had their way with Montreal games, three and four up there, and they kind of felt the series was going to fall their way, and obviously it didn't. And I do not think you'll see a repeat of that. I think, obviously the Caps have not been performing well in the last month, but I think there's something to be said that, when a team doesn't have a whole lot of adversity, the biggest question is how do they respond? And I think, they've shown signs of when they want to work hard, when they put effort into a game, they're a pretty good team and can be pretty hard to beat. I just think a lot of that has been absent the last month. The big question is, will they be able to flip the switch? I think they probably will be able to. I think they're a better team than Montreal. I think Montreal's got a lot of talent, but I also think they're probably a year away. A guy like Hudson, I would expect he'll get targeted a bit. I would expect the Caps to play a heavy brand of hockey, which I'm not sure Montreal's gonna really like. I think I would expect the Capitals should win the series. I'd be kind of surprised if they didn't. I think that the question is, as long as they deal with the adversity and they put the effort in, I don't think they'll have an issue.
Yeah, and not only that, but obviously Charlie Lindgren right now is probably slated to be the starter right now going into game one, depending on the status of Logan Thompson, who is now skating with the team and is progressing per Spencer Carberry. And you said it, a physical game. One of those physical players being Alexei Protas, currently out with a lower body injury. He is progressing, but he has not been skating yet as of recording of this podcast. So one would hope that, when Protas comes back into the lineup, he's healthy and he's able to perform like the way he has, because Protas has had a fantastic season this season.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's obviously that hasn't helped either. I would expect, obviously, the playoffs, you tend to see players playing through stuff they may not normally play through. I would expect, like you were saying, I think Lindgren is at least going to start. I would not expect them to throw in Thompson cold, even if he was physically healthy. But, they have the option, and they've been doing this all year. I think that, I think both goalies are capable. Obviously, both have had ups and downs this year, but in general, they have a pretty good tandem, and I think the goaltending is superior to Montreal's. I think, as I said, I think defensively, I think the Caps are much, much deeper. They've been relatively healthy. Obviously, they've had a few guys in and out, but most of that has been maintenance. Forward wise, obviously, Montreal's got some talent, but like I said, I think the Caps are deeper. I think they will not take them lightly because of what happened 15 years ago. And as I said, I think Ovechkin will be very motivated to kind of undo what happened 15 years ago.
Yeah, and I also think Charlie Lindgren's going to be very motivated as well, because let's be honest, I think very highly of Charlie Lindgren as a goaltender. Last season, when he pretty much carried the Capitals into the playoffs last year when they had no right to be in the playoffs, and he actually kept the Capitals in games against the New York Rangers despite the sweep. He kept them in games. Like, you couldn't really put that on him. So I'm very confident in Charlie Lindgren and what he will be able to bring for the Capitals going into the playoffs if Thompson is not ready to go by a certain point. I think they can ride Lindgren.
Yeah, and I think the important thing probably be these first two games in Washington. What happened, in 2010, Montreal won game one. Capitals had to rally in game two, so it kind of gave Montreal a little bit of life. And I think if the Caps want to make quick work of this series, they really need to control the Canadiens twice in DC, because otherwise, Montreal also, they haven't been in the playoffs since 2021. They're gonna be really behind this team. The crowds are loud. It's a great place to watch playoff games. So I think, it would be important for the Caps to take control of the series early, kind of force the Canadians to have to play catch up. I mean, that's the way upsets happen is when you fall behind early and you give the other team life, and the Caps, really have to avoid doing that.
Yeah, and also in retrospect, also we have to look at 2018. Ironically, against the team that we could have faced, the Columbus Blue Jackets, two overtime losses. Philip Grubauer was the goalie for those first two games. He played valiantly, but then game three, they put Braden Holtby back between the pipes and never looked back after that, you know. So I think the story tells that one itself with a nice, shiny Stanley Cup. But with all that said, Caps Montreal, who are you picking?
I'll say Capitals in five.
Caps in five? Okay. So Toru said Capitals against Montreal. I said Capitals against Montreal as well. We didn't pick how many games. But just for fun, Toru said that the Capitals would be in Columbus in the first round. I said Columbus would be in the Capitals in the first round. Who would you have had win, or who would you have seen winning between the Caps and Columbus? Just for fun.
I think the Caps. I think the
Caps?
Caps would have won. I think the way the Metro bracket is set up, I think it would be a disappointment for them not to at least reach the Eastern Finals. I think that the other teams, Florida, Carolina, and New Jersey, that both teams are not looking real good. Both teams, New Jersey has slightly better goaltending. Carolina's goaltending has been a huge, huge issue. Down the stretch, they've been experimenting, and really, they're giving up a lot of bad goals. And I think that series will be interesting. But I think the Capitals match up favorably to either Carolina or New Jersey. So I think they obviously haven't won a playoff series since winning the Stanley Cup. And I think if they don't do that this year, it's going to be a big, big disappointment.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and also keep in mind, I mean, look at the disappointment of what the Boston Bruins had last year. Look at the disappointment of the Winnipeg Jets every year, who's been a top team in the Western Conference, which we'll talk about them in a little bit. But you already alluded to it. The next series is obviously Carolina Hurricanes versus New Jersey Devils. I agree that it's a much weaker thing. Goaltending definitely is on the side of the Devils with Jacob Markstrom. Jacob Markstrom is a goalie I've always appreciated, especially during his time in Calgary. Plus, the Devils are getting a little healthy. They just got Dougie Hamilton back into their lineup. They're still going to be without Jack Hughes. What are some of the things that you're looking at going into this series?
I mean, I think this could be a very atypical playoff series because I think both teams want to play wide open hockey. And I really think that, both teams may be willing just to let it skate because, Carolina, as I alluded to, is not very good defensively and their goaltending is not very good. Their strength is scoring goals. And the Devils, they like to skate. They don't really like to defend either. The reason they brought in Markstrom is because, when they had below average goaltending, they were getting lit up. So I think it's going to be a tight series. I do think Carolina wins, but I do think they're going to get a pretty good scare from New Jersey just because I think the goaltending is better. I think in crunch time, Markstrom will make the saves, whereas Anderson may not. And I kind of think that, obviously it's funny. You look at all the analytics predictions and Carolina's a favorite to win the Stanley Cup, and I just don't see it with that goaltending and defense. I mean, I think, Carolina, I think their best possible outcome is probably the Eastern Finals. I just don't think they're, obviously I think they, with the Rantanen deal, undoing that and not doing any other deadline deals is just it's gonna cost them because they needed some upgrades on D and probably a different goalie. They didn't do it, and I really don't think the team is built to last that long. New Jersey, they brought in Markstrom, but they're like as you said, no Hughes. So that's gonna be tough. But I'd say if I was gonna pick, I'd say Carolina in seven. But I think it's gonna be a real close series, and Carolina's got to be really cognizant of a upset watch.
And I definitely agree about your analysis on Carolina, because that was one thing I noticed during the off season for Carolina, is that They didn't make an attempt to try to keep Brett Pesce. They didn't make an attempt to try to keep Brady Shea, which ironically, Brett Pesce is with the Devils now, and Brady Shea is with Nashville Predators. And, those were two really core pieces to that Carolina Hurricanes defense. And granted, yeah, they still have, Jacob Slavin and Dmitry Orlov, who is going to be an unrestricted free agent at the end of the season. But those two guys can't be the top two guys that you can only rely on. You have to have a better, deeper core of defensemen,
Right.
and they really, I mean, Jalen Chatfield is a pretty solid defenseman, but he's like your third pairing defenseman realistically. But that's the thing with Carolina. They need to, like, I was very disappointed with how they just downgraded themselves. And then, as you mentioned with goaltending, they keep trying to stick with Frederik Andersen. Andersen just never stays healthy when it comes to this time of year. He has been notoriously known for
No,
getting injured around the playoffs.
and I know they've been experimenting and seeing if Kochetkov would be the guy that they could go to, and he got lit up in Buffalo. He wasn't very good last night. It's funny because this team has had they've been able to win a round or two last couple seasons, but they never can get over the hump. And this team is not better than any of those teams. They like I said, they did not make any attempt to improve themselves because they were trying to undo the Rantanen deal, which. Stankoven's a decent player. They get two firsts, but that doesn't help you this season. So you're basically paying a high price for Stankoven in terms of what the roster is this year. So it's just hard to see them. They're not working on their flaws. The defense needs work. The goaltending, they definitely need a goalie who can cover up for some of those mistakes. But like I said, this series could be different because it's probably gonna be high octane. The Carolina wants to skate. New Jersey probably wants to skate too. So, it may be a very atypical playoff series. But, I think if Markstrom is good, New Jersey has a chance at the upset. That's going to be the big difference between the two teams if New Jersey is able to win. Carolina is probably the better team, but, in playoffs, that doesn't always mean anything.
Yeah, we've learned that so many times before. So you got Carolina, Toru has Carolina, and I also have Carolina for this matchup. Sticking to the East, we have the Battle of Florida, the Florida Panthers versus the Tampa Bay Lightning. I'm just going to say this right here, right now. I want Florida to win, and I want Ottawa to win because I want the Tkachuk brothers to literally destroy each other in the second round. That's all I want. Just give me what I want in the second round of a Tkachuk brother brawl.
Yeah, I mean the one that's gonna be intriguing about both Atlantic series is these are gonna be wars. I'm very curious what kind of shape whomever emerges from the Atlantic is in because, these are four. Well, three of the four teams want to play really heavy hockey, and Florida and Tampa both want to basically beat each other up for 7 games. It's gonna be really curious because obviously, you look at Florida. This is they're going 2 straight years of going all the way to the finals. That's a lot of miles. Granted, Tkachuk has been out, since the Four Nations, so obviously he'll get a bit of rest, but that's, it's still a very, very difficult road to go that many games 2 years in a row. Tampa Bay isn't quite what they used to be, but if Vasilevsky is good, they're certainly capable of pulling this out. They've had a nice core, obviously, they added Gensel this year. They've added a couple good players, and I just think, both of those teams are really good. I think Florida takes it, but it may be a pyrrhic victory because these teams could just kill each other. I'm not sure. Had they had a different, like if one of these other teams got, say, Ottawa or Toronto in the first round, I have much more of a long-term forecast that they would do something. But as I said, the potential of, Florida getting through Tampa and then having to go through Ottawa, could be just, you could just be like Dallas was last year, nothing left for, the conference final. And, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, it'll be quite a entertaining series. It will not be wide open hockey though.
Yeah, and one of the interesting things, you touched on it, like with Tampa Bay, they got Gensel. Florida obviously also got Brad Marchand at the deadline. One of the other things is that these two teams just recently played each other, and Jesse Puljujärvi just got a 2-game suspension for an illegal hit to the head or a cross-checking, one of the two. I know it just got thrown out, put out there today. So there's already some bad blood going into this series between Florida and Tampa Bay, and then we'll discuss LA Edmonton in a bit because there's a suspension that came out of a game between those two teams recently as well. So, you know, like you said, this is going to be a war between Florida and Tampa, you know, hence why it's also called the Battle of Florida. These two teams are going to want to be the one to represent the state of Florida and try to get a Florida team into the Stanley Cup final for like what, the 6th year in a row or something like that now.
Yeah,
So
I mean this has been a nice rivalry for, you know, almost a decade now, ever since probably the Lightning, team, you know, the Florida was starting to get good, and now, you know, like you said, it's, you know, it's either Tampa Bay or Florida, and you know, you're, as I said, my pick would be Florida right now. You know, as I said, my concern for them is, you know, last couple of years when Florida or Tampa Bay started, they usually didn't have this kind of war in the first round. You know, that Atlantic Division title and getting the wild card probably would have been beneficial for both these teams, but the fact that they have to go through each other is probably going to be something that's not going to work for them in the long run.
yeah. So you say Florida, Toru said Florida, and I said Florida as well for this one. And then that leaves us to our last Eastern Conference one, the Ottawa Senators versus the Toronto Maple Leafs in the Battle of Ontario. Like you said, the Atlantic Division is just the division of battles. So.
I mean, you could expect Ottawa is going to come out and play very heavy. I was alluding to three of four teams of being wanting to play heavy hockey. That would be Ottawa would be the third. You know, they're going to try to pound Toronto. And you know, the goal we go back to the goaltending. You know, obviously they got Ullmark from the Bruins, who hasn't been tremendous in the playoffs, but he's still better than the Leafs options. You know, obviously Toronto has, you know, Matthews and Nylander and the stars up front, but you know, Ottawa's been another nice story. Probably if they were in a bigger market, you'd probably hear a lot more about them. But you know, they made some nice moves of the offseason. They took advantage of a kind of a weaker Eastern Conference playoff field and secured themselves a spot a couple weeks ago, really. You know, they would probably be my upset pick. I think, you know, I like the Senators' goaltending better. I like their grit better. I, you know, Toronto, well, you know, they are not. They deal with the expectations. You know, this is kind of like what Montreal is going to deal with. They may not be a favorite, but they're going to be called a favorite by the locals. And, you know, it's a really tough to try to break that 1967 drought. And I'm not sure this is the team to do it. And I said, they would probably be my upset in the East is seeing Ottawa. It's going to be really, again, a really close series, but you know, I picked the Senators to upset the Leafs and move on.
Yeah, so you're picking the Sens. Toru has Toronto and I have Ottawa as well. Like I said, I want the Tkachuk brothers in the second round. That's all I'm asking for. Just give me the Tkachuks in the second round and then just have the Capitals just kind of just sweep to the side whatever is left over from that
Yeah, well, I mean,
series.
like I was saying, you know, Washington, if they can get through these rounds, you probably get a team that's severely beat up.
Yeah.
And obviously, the Caps don't mind playing physical. You know, they can get through, and you know, then you're on to the West, which, you know, that's another meat grinder if
Yeah,
you look.
and we're gonna get to that right now. And we're gonna start right off the bat with Winnipeg versus St. Louis. Obviously, Winnipeg is one of those teams, they are the parallel to the Washington Capitals. From the start of the season, both Washington and Winnipeg were just they just came out of the gates. They stayed hot for pretty much the duration of the season. Thankfully, the Jets took the President's Trophy because the Caps do not need that because that thing is a curse to the team. 2010 is one of those years, I believe. But they, unlike the Capitals, they still remained consistent though
Right.
after they clinched the West. Whereas the Capitals, when they kind of clinched their spot in the playoffs and the Capitals were first, they kind of dipped a little bit. And yes, Ovechkin's chase of Gretzky played a part of that. But Winnipeg is now also playing The other team that I would say I would be scared of right now, and that is the St. Louis Blues, who had a, what, 13-game winning streak coming down the stretch. You know, Jim Montgomery has turned this team around in St. Louis when he came in, which I actually feel bad for the guy who was brought in as head coach originally. You know, you just get the interim term label t removed, become the full-time coach, and then all of a sudden you're let go as soon as Jim Montgomery becomes available. So I do feel bad for him, but Montgomery turned the team around. The Blues are in the playoffs. They're facing the Jets. What are your thoughts on this series right here?
Well, we had an interesting discussion about the President's Trophy, and you look at it since the format changed to the latest playoff with the brackets, none of the teams have gone to the Stanley Cup Finals. And a lot of that, you know, Winnipeg has probably got one of the toughest roads to get to the finals because you're getting, like you said to you, you're getting the Blues who are coming in hot. If you survive this, you get Dallas or Colorado who are also two Stanley Cup contenders. And then you have to advance to the Western Final, and then it's a really tough road. I mean, I think the Jets, I think will squeak by the Blues. I think it's not going to be easy. They've obviously, like you were saying, they've had a very good year. They've been way ahead of everyone else in the West for the most part. Obviously the question has always been Hellebuck, who performed decently at the Four Nations. He hasn't always performed well in high pressure situations. I think he was better than he has been with Winnipeg in the playoffs. But the Blues are going to be no easy out. This is no reward for finishing first in the league. It almost brings you, they're talking about potentially like doing what the Women's League does and have you pick your first round opponent, because I don't think the Jets would be picking the Blues if they could pick who they want to play. But the Jets are a really good team. I'm not sure this is going to be their year. They may be like the Capitals, and maybe in a year or two they learn from the mistakes and finally win a cup. But for this round, I would pick them over the Blues, but it's not going to be easy.
Yeah, Toru picked St. Louis and I picked Winnipeg as well. I think the Blues lose steam in this series.
Yeah, I
I
mean,
because you can only go hot for so long before you lose steam.
right. And there's not a lot of carryover, because the difference between a regular season win streak, you're getting momentum from different teams. A playoff series, you're basically gaining or losing momentum to whom you're playing, and it accumulates. It's much, much harder to get, on a roll unless you're totally dominating a team. And it just, the Jets are really good. As I said, I don't think they're going to win the cup this year, but I do think they're not far off.
Yeah. So as we stick to the Central Division, we also have the Dallas Stars versus the Colorado Avalanche, which I am dubbing the Battle of Mikko Rantanen. Because he started with
Yes.
Colorado and now he's with Dallas. I want to start off with this. I am picking Toru picked Dallas, I picked Colorado, and I think the X factor for Colorado is the return of Gabriel Landeskog.
Yeah,
What are
no,
your thoughts on this series?
I think a couple weeks ago, I would have picked Dallas, but obviously the injuries they've had, obviously they lost Robertson yesterday. And it's just, I mean, it's tough because, like I alluded to earlier, Dallas probably would have gone to the finals last year had they not been so beaten up against Edmonton. And I just think that right now they're so roughed up, and Colorado is just a really, really solid club that, I think the Avs will probably beat them. They probably are not the better team when healthy, but obviously they've been using Jake Ottinger a lot. Colorado's a little suspect in net, but as I said, I think the injuries maybe be a little bit too much for them to overcome. If Dallas drawn someone a little bit easier in the first round, I think they would have advanced. But Colorado is, like Dallas, is another team with serious Stanley Cup hopes. And I just think, in their current state, Colorado's a better team.
Yeah, and not only that, but Dallas obviously just got Tyler Seguin back. Miro Heiskanen's out injured, like big part of their defense. So like, yeah, Dallas is a little bit banged up there, but like as I mentioned, Colorado is getting Gabriel Landeskog, their captain, back, and he
Yes.
hasn't played in 3 years essentially.
Yes.
Not only that, but look at what the Capitals did during the offseason, where they picked up Pierre-Luc Dubois, Logan Thompson. Jacob Chychrun, Matt Roy, Andrew Mangiapane. Well, the Colorado Avalanche did that mid-season. They traded their goaltenders. They
Right.
got new goaltending. They traded Rantanen. They were able to get Martin Natchez out of that trade. They picked up Brock Nelson at the trade deadline. They picked blanking on who else. Oh, they picked up Ryan Lindgren and Jimmy Vesey from the Rangers. They retooled this team on the fly to be a solid playoff team to go for the cup. And I think that's one of the other things. Like we always find ways, you know, we talked about Winnipeg, how they're the parallel to the Capitals with how they were throughout the entire regular season. Colorado's the parallel to the Capitals of how they retooled their team and on the fly in the season. And I think, you know, Chris McFarlane, the general manager of the Avs, was a big reason why he's been in the talks for GM of the year for this year.
Yeah, no, and I think, like we were alluding to with Carolina before, Carolina didn't take care of what they needed. Colorado went out and tried to address what they needed. Obviously Rantanen, they knew was going to be an issue for them. They turned him into two good players, and I think the Avs, like I said, their biggest thing is their goaltending is slightly suspect. The year they won with Darcy Kemper, they basically were so good offensively at pushing other teams that they were able to overcome it. They're not quite that good now, but the goaltending's also better. Dallas is going to have to rely on a depleted lineup. Ottinger is a great goalie, but this it's as I said, it's a bad luck of the draw. This is kind of the downside of this format that, if you're in a good division, it's going to be a lot harder for you. And obviously the Caps knew that for years, and now Dallas and Winnipeg and Colorado are all facing some real tough teams right off the bat. And, that's just, it's very difficult to survive four rounds with like that.
This is why we always wish that the 1v8 format would always come back.
I like the 116 was great. They'll never bring it back because of the
The
travel
travel.
expenses, but
Oh, well, I want.
when you had the island when you had the Islanders and Kings in the first round, that was just something to see.
Yeah, no, my dad reminisces about that when the Flyers won the Cups in 74 and 75. But I prefer 1v8. That's what I originally grew up with, and that's what I like. And it makes more sense for the conferences anyways.
Yes.
So you got Colorado in
Oh,
this
yeah.
one? Okay, Colorado. All right, next up, we have the Minnesota Wild versus the Vegas Golden Knights. And this is an actual interesting one because this is Marc-Andre Fleury's last season in the NHL. His team is now going up against his former team. I know the storybook would be wonderful if it was the Minnesota Wild versus the Washington Capitals, Fleury versus Ovechkin one last time, even though Fleury would not be the one playing the games, it would be Philip Gustavson. What are your thoughts on this series? Could this be an upset for Minnesota because of Fleury? Not necessarily, even though he's on the bench the entire time.
Well, yeah, this is another one where, obviously Minnesota played decently down the stretch, not quite as well as St. Louis. But Vegas is Vegas. Vegas, they always are a team that makes sure they're loaded at every position. Obviously they made some decisions over the offseason. They got rid of Logan Thompson, who obviously could have come in handy for them now, but Vegas is gonna be a really tough out. They're probably the favorite out of that division just because, they Jack Eichel's back. They're just a stacked lineup. They may not win the cup, but they're going to make some noise. And, Minnesota's a nice little team. Obviously they're better with some of the guys they got back recently, but I would be surprised if they could beat Vegas, because I think Vegas is loaded for bear. And while they may not want the cup either, they're going to be in that big mix of really brutal matchups coming down the pike.
No perfect Cinderella story ending for Marc-Andre Fleury on this one. It is a Vegas domination, you would say.
Probably. He'll probably get to say goodbye in game five in Vegas, and say goodbye to the where he almost won a Stanley Cup, and he'll go off into probably broadcasting after that, because he'll be damn good at
Yeah.
it.
So, all right, so you got Vegas. We got Toro and I went Vegas as well on this one. And then the last series in the Western Conference, it is Toru's team of the Edmonton Oilers versus the Los Angeles Kings for the fourth year in a row.
Yes,
Is this,
that's fair.
and I mentioned this earlier when we talked about Florida Tampa Bay, how Jesse Puljujärvi got suspended for 2 games for his illegal hit to the Tampa player. Darnell Nurse got a 1 game suspension for his hit on Quinton Byfield. Obviously, this series is going to be a bloodbath because of the
Right.
fact that these two teams have faced each other now for 4 years in a row in the first round. Edmonton has won the first 3 years. Could this be the year for LA?
Probably not. I think, obviously this series, like we were talking about the playoff format, this is kind of the worst part of the divisional format because you see these series over and over and over. Obviously Edmonton kind of led a charmed life last year. We talk about, there's three keys to success in the playoffs. You want to stay healthy. You want to get luck in your own series. You want to get luck outside your series. And certainly Edmonton got a lot of all of that last year. They got Dallas, who was beat up in the third round, and were able to get, Florida, who almost fell asleep at the wheel in the final. While I don't think Edmonton is going to go back to the final, I think they will take care of LA a fourth time. I just think, the Oilers are really good offensively, and I'm not sure LA is good enough to stop that attack. McDavid and all the power that they have, and even though the Edmonton goaltending isn't great, I wouldn't bet the farm on LA's goaltending either.
Yeah, but one thing that is going against Edmonton though is injuries. Just like with Dallas, they're missing Matthias Ekholm. It sounds like he's not going to be playing in the first round. That is a huge blow to their defense because he's their best defensive defenseman. They got a few other injuries. We know McDavid's been a little banged up since the Four Nations, so I think that plays a factor. I'm just going to put this out there. Toro says he is fingers crossed, hoping for a game seven. But I am actually picking Los Angeles. I think this is the year where LA finally gets over that Edmonton hump that has been haunting them the last. I look at this like the way it's been with the Capitals and the Penguins. Because year after year after year, when the Caps and Pens always played each other, the Penguins always got the better of the Capitals. And then when the Capitals finally beat them in 2018, yes, there was one other time in the 90s where the Caps beat the Penguins. But then I think they lost to the Islanders in the second round that year, if I remember right. When the Caps finally beat the Pens in 2018, it like exorcised the demons, as John Walton said,
Right.
They were able to play more looser, more relaxed, and everything like that. And I think that's what LA is looking for. LA is looking to finally get this demon exercised so they can play that looser, more relaxed style in the later rounds as well. Because this is a team that is looking to try to play in later rounds to gain that experience for not a cup run this year, but maybe down the road.
Right. I mean, they're similar to what we were talking about earlier is, kind of the key to the upset is you got to win one of those first two games, put pressure on the favorite. Because obviously Edmonton is another one of those teams that the Canadian media is going to pick to go deep. And I think, if LA wants an upset, they got to have to put Edmonton on their heels, force them to play from behind. Because otherwise, I think it's going to be tricky. But we'll see. It just. The West is, I was discussing with somebody, you can probably make cases for three teams in the East to potentially win the Stanley Cup. You could make a potential for probably five teams in the West to do so.
Yeah.
And it's such a tough draw this year.
Yeah. So with that, this is our first round playoff preview. We will be doing another one. Hopefully, Ted will be able to get you back for a second in conference finals and Stanley Cup final. Hopefully, maybe I can even get you with Toru. The three of us
There
together,
you go.
depending on his schedule. This is how we're going to do it throughout the playoffs, everyone, because I don't believe in trying to predict all the way down the road. I think we just focus on what's in front of us and not try to get ahead of us at the same time. So, with that, Ted, where can the people find you on social media?
You follow me at Ted Starkey, TedStarkey on X, and also you can find me on Blue Sky. I'm on Threads somewhat, but Twitter right now is the primary, just because my Blue Sky account's a little bit newer and I don't have quite as much reach.
Well, and let's also be honest, we're still waiting for Hockey Twitter to move over to Blue Sky at the same time too.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. As I said, it's been interesting because obviously I've had a ton of interaction since, the Ovechkin chase, which kept me busy for a couple months. And now that that's over, this is kind of a, break before the playoffs. So we'll see.
Yeah, and then of course you can follow Toru on Instagram, which is just his name of Toru Masamune. On Instagram, and then for me, you can follow me on all social media outlets that I have at the Lindenbaum 75. Yes, I even rebranded Twitch to be at the Lindenbaum 75 as well. So that's Twitter, Instagram, Threads, Blue Sky, Twitch. That one random moment of crying in the fetal position in the corner somewhere, all of it at the Lindenbaum 75, and of course, everything also is at TXHT. Underscore hockey or txhthockey.com. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the More Phenomenal Hockey Show. He's Ted Starkey. I got to remember that I'm looking at a different thing with my multi-monitor setup. He's Ted Starkey. Earlier was our boy Toru Masamune. He'll be back later. And then obviously I am Michael. Thank you for tuning in. And for all of you who have been complaining, saying that we don't talk enough Capitals hockey on here, I found every way possible to do a parallel to the Washington Capitals in every series we talked about. Fight me.